You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
If you look at that membership mission form that everybody was given today, I just want to briefly talk through that. I want to share a short homily on Christ the King Day, and I'm looking forward to baptizing six people today. It just feels like a good day to do that. The membership mission form says this. It says, having entered a relationship with Jesus Christ, having been or planning to be baptized, standing in unity with the essence of Salem Tabernacle's vision to become human in the love of Jesus, and being aware that the Holy Spirit has placed me as a member of Salem Tabernacle's church family, I commit myself to God and to the other members of Salem Tabernacle to live into our mission by doing my best in. And we're going to talk about what we're doing our best in. And I want to say, somebody said to me, why do we become members of a church? And I said, number one, we become members of a church because when we were baptized, we became members of Christ's body cosmically. Everybody say cosmic. As soon as we got baptized, we became members of what we call the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The way that we play out what happened cosmically is that we live it locally. Everybody say locally. And so when we become a member of a local church, we are acknowledging, plugging into, and playing out our cosmic membership in the body of Jesus Christ called the church. And so that's why we do that. What do we do our best in? And Jacqueline and I, we wrote every word of this carefully. It is not a contract. And here's something new for those of you who've been at the church for a while. It's not a covenant. It's a mission. We become members of the body of Christ for a missional reason. We become members of a church not for ourselves, but for those we serve. And everybody said, amen. I am not a member of this church for me. I'm a member of this church for you. You're a member of this church for me. And I'm a member of this church for you. I show up on Sunday to offer you what you need, which is to see my worship. And you show up on Sunday to offer everybody else what they need, which is to see your worship. We don't come to church to get an individualistic blessing or experience. We come to church. It's called the Sunday morning service because we come to church to serve others. And we're going to hear about this in a moment. Only Goliath. Everybody remember Goliath? I talk a lot about him. I dressed up like him when I was younger. Should have known. Makes sense. But Goliath is the one who says, send out a man to fight me. Goliath, the voice of evil, is the one who wants an individual. But David, when he came out, said, I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of hosts. This whole army is behind me. We don't do things as individuals. We do things as a family. Amen? Evil wants us to do things as an individual. Evil wants us to have an individual experience. Evil wants us to at least I had a good Sunday morning service. Jesus wants us to have a good Sunday morning service. Jesus wants us to weep when others weep and us to laugh when others laugh. Amen? When something happens to you, it happens to me and Jacqueline. When something happens to me and Jacqueline, it happens to you. When something happens to people over here, it happens to people over there. Amen? We are a body. Has anybody ever had a pain in one part of their body and then for the next year, another part of your body hurts for no reason? Like, I hurt my foot over the last few years. Why is my left elbow hurt now all of a sudden? It's like, you know why? Because my body's healthy and it's connected. Amen? All right. Start preaching about head, shoulders, knees, and toes if we don't. What are we trying our best in? Number one, expressing the unity of Christ within his church. Number one, expressing the unity of Christ within his church by living in Christ's love toward the other members, by serving the church body in thought, word, and deed, and by supporting leadership in gospel, work, and life, just like you did this past weekend. That's what it means to express the unity of Christ within his church. Two, we do our best in supporting the testimony of Christ through his church. So number one, expressing the unity of Christ within his church. Two, supporting the testimony of Christ through his church by praying for faithful flourishing within and outside of the church, by sharing and living my faith in and outside the church, by extending the hospitality of Christ to those in and outside the church. We are not an exclusive club who comes here and doesn't care about them out there. We come here to get filled up with the gasoline we need to go out there and serve everybody else. Amen? Number three, by serving the ministry of Christ from his church. So we express the unity of Christ within his church. We support the testimony of Christ through his church. And we serve the ministry of Christ from his church. By uncovering and being generous with the gifts and talents God has given me, by humbly being equipped by the church to go into all the world and make disciples, and by cultivating a servant's heart toward those in and outside the church. We become members to grow as humans. We become members to grow as Christians. Ready? We become members to learn how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit so that we can leave here and people can pluck that fruit from our life and be enriched by who we're becoming as people and so that we can enrich each other. Amen? This is the quickest sermon you ever heard in your entire life. 4, by sharing in Christ's responsibility over his church, by attending faithfully, by serving passionately, and by giving regularly, just like you did this past weekend. And so you have this. I don't need to go over this more. You're going to be hearing about this kind of, this is what we preach. Here's what we say to everybody who's going to be baptized. The question is, how do I remember my baptism moving forward after that day? How do I do that? Number one, you come to church on Sunday. Everything you learn in church on Sunday is what it means to be baptized. The entirety of the Christian life is living out our baptism. Why? Because the baptism is the cross. And the entirety of the Christian life is nothing if it's not the cross. This is also why we baptize children. Because Paul makes it very clear in Romans 6 that the baptism waters take us to the cross. And we believe that the cross is for everybody, not just adults. Amen? How many believe the cross is for our children too? Why would we withhold it? So that's why we do that. And so we believe that baptism is the entirety of the Christian life. And so you learn about your baptism every Sunday when you have your personal devotional time with the Lord during the week and you have your plan, your routine, your way that you pray, read, and study. Everything you learn there is remembering your baptism. And then when we get missionalized, when we have things that we have to do as a church in our community, that is also living our baptism. The question becomes, what sort of person is this in whom we are baptized and in whom we become members? We say Jesus Christ, but Christ the King Sunday is a very unique day to talk a little bit about who Jesus is. Who is this person? What manner of life is this person of whom we become his body? It says this, and I did not do this on purpose, but it says this in 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7, which is just an ironic twist on the joke we made last week. 1 Samuel 16, 6, 7 says, Ian pointed that out, by the way. I didn't even see it. Ian pointed it out the other day. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And the son of David would later say this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. God tells Samuel, I know Eliab looks good on the outside. He looks like a man who could lead. He looks like somebody, but I look on the heart. And when you read back to Eve eating the fruit, it says when she saw that the tree was good for food, the first thing is that outward appearance, and we always, pun intended, bite at the outward appearance of things, but it is the inside. And so one of the attacks of the enemy, you ready, is for us to act and behave well on the outside, but hate our neighbor on the inside. To lift our hands in church on the outside and hate people of a different race on the inside. To come to the Lord's table on the outside but be manipulative, controlling, angry, addicted, disastrous on the inside. Jesus, like a good shepherd, is willing for there to be a mess on the outside as long as the inside is slowly becoming clean. Because Jesus says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. We won't go through these because you've heard them, but Christ the King, and I just think Ian did a beautiful job with this logo because it looks so good. But when you look at this shield, what you see on the very top is an emblem of power, the crown, and what you see on the right side is a scepter, but then you see another crown of thorns and you see a shepherd's staff. And normally these things don't go together. But our king is a king who wears a crown, but it's a crown of... And our king is the one who holds a scepter, but it is the shepherd's crook. And our king has the throne. Do you remember when Peter and James, when James and John said, when you enter your glory, can we, when you're sitting on your throne, can we sit one at your left and one at your right? And you remember what Jesus said? And for you getting baptized, listen, Jesus said this. He said, you might be able to sit on my left and my right, but he said this. He goes, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And they're probably like, why is he talking about, we're talking about Game of Thrones. We're talking about everybody who left is a sinner, because you know what Game of Thrones is, but they wanted to sit on the Iron Throne, right? They wanted to lead the Dothraki. That's as far as I'm going to go. They wanted to do those things. But Jesus does go on a throne, and there are people to his left hand and to his right hand, but it's not the throne they were thinking. It's a cross, and the ones seated at his left and seated at his right were those being crucified with him. When they came to make Jesus king, it said he withdrew by himself and escaped being made king by them. Why? Because he's not a king of that kind of kingdom. He's the king of a kingdom that works from the inside out, not the outside in. He doesn't care about votes. He doesn't care about land acquisition. He doesn't care about power. He cares about souls that are healing. Amen? When you go to Revelation, you hear, and you've heard me play this chord for a long time, and I'll keep doing it. You hear... it say that the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered, but when John turned, he saw a lamb as if it had been slain. Because God is redefining power. What he heard, lion, and what he saw, lamb, was something that was meant to destroy his view of what he thought power was. Power is not in someone's ability to tear somebody else to pieces, or better said, to bomb another country more effectively than another. Power is in one's ability to die for his enemies. Welcome to baptism. Then, and we all know this because some people may have knocked on your door about this one, but we've heard that in heaven there's going to be how many people? 144,000. Have we heard this? Revelation 7. 144,000. I invite you to go and read Revelation 7 because it says this, and I heard the number of those who were the elect, 144,000. But it says, when I turn to look, I will quote it directly because I've memorized it. I saw people, a multitude that could not be numbered from every race, tribe, language, and tongue worshiping the Lamb. Why does it say that? God gives John the vision of an exclusive number. I was texting my cousin about this. He goes, 144,000? It sounds like they should all have a membership jacket. And I said, that's what that number makes us think of, right? An exclusive number of people. But when he turned, everyone had the membership jacket on. Everyone was part of that. And so what does that mean? It means he said something to make us think of, exclusivity, privacy, us four, no more. And then he exploded it to realize, yeah, I have a club too. It's called all of you. You all are my club. That's what Jesus is saying. It's exclusive as long as it's everybody. Things that even angels longed to look at. He's providing for us. Why does that matter? You know why it matters? Here's one reason why it matters. Because sometimes you'll hear things about yourself. You fail. You mess up. You're stuck in the cycle. It's going to happen again. You have hurt those around you. You're not worthy to worship. You're not worthy to be in ministry. You're not worthy to stand. You're not worthy to get married. You're not worthy to have kids. You're not worthy to do these things. And we're going to hear those things. But then God is always saying, turn and look. Because what I see is the opposite of that. All of the time, I see people who can stand on their own two feet. I don't see people who fall. I see people who get back up. I see people who know how to fight. I see people who know how to get through a storm. That's why we have to read these things. That's what baptism means. In baptism, I go down into that tank as sinful Billy D'Andriano, and I came up as sinful Billy D'Andriano. I got home and messed up. Okay, maybe when I get ordained as a pastor, stood there, a sinful Billy D'Andriano, got ordained, got home, probably sinned right away. Maybe when I get ordained as a priest, then it'll get really heavy and holy. Worse. It got worse. immediately got worse. But you know what's been getting better? The inside. You know what's been healing? My acknowledgement of recognizing that I just messed up. You know what's been getting better? My ability to say, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? You know what's been getting better? My ability to be less and less petty. Don't even say amen, because I know you. I know you. I'm trying to look at everybody, so this is where the lazy eye works in. I'm like, I can scan the entire room. You're a walking dichotomy. You are living every day in sinful, broken flesh. You are in a relationship with people every day in sinful, broken flesh, and yet we know through faith that something new and real is happening in us that you can't see, you can't taste, you can't touch, you can't measure, but you know it's happening, and you all know that it's happening. I know you know that it's happening. It's happening. There's a dichotomy with Jesus. He's the shepherd king. He's the victor through death. He's the servant master. He's the wounded healer. He's the one who got baptized to join sinners in their sin. Jesus got baptized to cleanse the water so that when we get baptized, something new happens in us. Jesus does not make a way where there is no way. Jesus becomes the way where there is no way. He doesn't make a way. He is the way. He is himself the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't say he makes a way, some truth, and some life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When you choose him, you've chosen the right way on the wrong road. To close last week's monologue on David and Goliath, David throws a rock at Goliath's head. And Jesus, the son of David, becomes a stone that is slung at death. Find it very interesting, as we get ready to close, that it says this when Jesus died. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means what? The place of the... Isn't it interesting that David throws a stone at the giant's head? And 1,000 years later, his son, Jesus, son of David, the stone that the builders rejected, was put into God's sling, slung at death, and died on a place called the skull. When we sinned first, where did sin first enter our body? It was the tree of the knowledge. Do you see that? Sin entered here. David hit Goliath here. Jesus was crucified on a place called the skull. It says that he is now. What does he say? He says, the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his. And then later, after the resurrection, we become the body of Christ, and Christ is our. Do you see what he's doing? He's renewing the mind at every turn. At every turn. You can't make stories up like that. But I'm going to end this by quoting, and I've read this enough, it makes me cry every time. But I'm not going to this time, because I have plenty of times already. If you've been here a while, you remember a man by the name of Varon Ash. He's passed away. He affected this church in a lot of powerful ways. He was the first vision of convergence that we've ever seen, without realizing we were seeing it when we saw him. In a sermon he preached, he says this: I love what I do. I love what I do for a living. And I love acknowledging that there are people, and you should do this in every profession you have. You should love what you do, and you should also acknowledge there are people who can do it way better than you. And when you can finally get to the point where you could celebrate that, it just becomes fun to plagiarize them. No shame anymore. He didn't write this. I wrote it. He just riffed this on his own while he was preaching at some church I don't know how the man thought this up, but it's perfect for Christ the King Sunday. He said this. I'm not even going to put it on the screen. And I told Ian, I'm not putting it on the screen because I want us to hear it. Speaking of Jesus, Varon says this. He's so much God, you forget he is man. And so much man that you forget he is God. Right there, we just go home now. He's so much man, he was born of a woman. And yet so much God that he is the only begotten of the Father. He is so much man that he fell asleep on a boat. Yet so much God that when he woke up from sleeping, he said, peace be still, and the wind and the waves listened to him. He's so much man that he felt compassion for 5,000 people who were hungry. But so much God that when he was done feeling bad, he fed them all with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's so much man that he cried when his best friend died. And so much God that when he got through crying, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He's so much man that he got annoyed with his mother for nagging him. And yet so much God that when he got done telling her to leave him alone, he said, fine, bring me the jars full of water, and he turned them into wine. He is so much man that he died on a cross, and yet so much God that he got his own self back up again. He is Christ the King. Let's stand to our feet this morning. That's whose body we're becoming a member of. We're first going to enter a portion of our baptism liturgy this morning, and you can follow along on the screen. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We good? Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's do that one more time. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one body and one spirit.
There is one holy
God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God, Father,
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
To those baptizing younger children, do you present your and Larry and Latoya, this is for you too. Do you present your children to be baptized? To everybody else, do you know that your church is presenting you to be baptized? Do you accept the privilege of baptism? Unbelievable. She said it for all of us. To those being baptized, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? Will all of you who witnessed these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their new life with Christ? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
One thing that everybody should do who is married on your anniversary is recite your wedding vows. It is a shame that we say them once and then we can go 75 years of being married and not say them anymore. Every Sunday when you come to church and we say the creed, we are reciting our marriage vows to God. We are reciting our baptismal vows. On baptism Sundays, we do them in question form, and everybody who's being baptized and who has been baptized, this is a chance for us to remember our vows. And so we say, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Rise again.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, God's help.
Let us now pray for those persons who are to receive the sacrament of new birth. So this is your church praying for you today. Deliver them, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open their hearts to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit. Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send them into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory. Father God, we thank you for the gift that is water. We know that in the first verses of the Bible, your spirit hovered over the chaotic waters, and out of waters came new life. We know that after the flood, out of waters came new life. We know that through Mary, out of the waters of birth, came life himself. And we know that through water, our baptized lives were born again. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bless this water. Make it, for those being baptized, the Jordan River. And we pray that these will be the waters that your flesh has touched to cleanse for our baptism. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
The worship team can come up. Everyone can remain standing shortly. We are now going to come to the Lord's table before baptism. All of you being baptized, you are going to take communion after you are baptized. Once again, Salem, the Lord be with you. Why, thank you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Everybody say, always and everywhere.
Always and everywhere.
Look at the person next to you and say, whatever you're going through,
whatever you're going through,
it is always and everywhere.
It is always and everywhere.
Give him thanks right now. Yes. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name, saying together, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, she's like, that holy water, I need that holy water. She's like, I need to anoint my dad with this holy water. You sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. No stress at all. A few disciples tried to rebuke children one time and Jesus rebuked them. We don't rebuke children here at all. The minute the sound of children ends, the church is falling apart. And so we're happy that we hear it. It's okay to clap for that. That was a good line. It's okay to clap for that. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of the faith, saying together, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Would you put your hands over your own hearts? Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And everybody said, amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, let me hear you pray. Our Father, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Everyone in this room is welcome to come for communion. How we'll do it in a moment is the ushers will release you from the back to the front. You can come down the side aisles. If you're on this side of the room, you can take a piece of bread from right here and dip it. If you're on this side of the room, you can take a piece of bread from right here and dip it. As you're doing that and you leave, normally when we do communion, everybody's like, church is just about over. This is great. It's not over yet. Come right back in the room, because when we're done with communion, we are going to baptize 6 people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So come forward and worship, and then head back to your seats for baptism.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.